Anyam Home is a space where we can all engage about self-love, self-worth, relationships, trauma, and healing. I hope that you enjoy your stay, and I am your host, Tando. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Anyam Home. This is the second episode of Men's Mental Health Month. Last week we had Given, and we were speaking about why it's so hard for men to ask for help or to be vulnerable towards those around them. So we're continuing that conversation. We want to dig deeper and understand how men function. So if you're in a position to want to understand the men that surround you, this is a good episode for you. If as a man, you also want to understand yourself, even better. This episode will have so many insightful conversations surrounding why men act the way that they act. On today's episode, I am joined by my uncle, who is a medical doctor and a host of a space called Dear Black Men, Are You Okay? So I feel that it is very fitting for me to title this episode, Dear Black Men, Are You Okay? But before I begin, if you are new and if this is the first episode you're coming across, welcome to Anyam Home. We speak everything wellness, relationships, platonic, romantic, and the relationships that we have with ourselves. If you are coming back again, thank you so much for choosing to press play once again. And I hope you do stick around. Thank you so much for the engagement, for the ratings, and for always just showing me love. I really appreciate it. And also just a reminder that Carrying Me Home is done. So soon it will be out and you guys can purchase Carrying Me Home very, very soon. Just keep a lookout on my Instagram, on my Twitter, and I will also announce it on my podcast when it is released. But that's enough about, you know, catching up. Hey, Dr. Mtembu, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and you?
I am well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on my platform. I really appreciate you sparing the time from your busy schedule to just have a conversation with me about men, seeing that it's Men's Mental Health Month and that a lot of men are, you know, part of the statistic with regards to their mental illness, and also the suicide rate are increasing, especially in Black men. So I really appreciate you joining me. But before I get ahead of myself, please do an introduction of who you are and anything you would like for my listeners to know.
Okay. First and foremost, thank you very much for having me in your podcast and to give, you know, insight about mental health, mental wellness in Black men. I think this is a very relevant topic that people should be aware of because these things, they do exist and Black men tend not to speak about them. My name is Bongani Mtembu. I was born and bred in Soweto. And yeah, I studied medicine in Cuba and I'm currently working in Angola as a pandemic director and manager. And I have a passion for, you know, mental health, seeing that it's something that we come across every now and again. So hence, I decided to co-host the space, Black Men, Are You Okay?
Thank you so much for that introduction. So I will leave a link to your social media profiles and people can follow the space if they want to. And I will also put a reminder out when the space is on so that people can join. It's a very insightful space and a lot of people do share their own experiences, and people who are qualified to speak on these type of conversations are on the panel and can give really sound advice. So I would recommend you guys check out the Dear Black Men, Are You Okay space. But I would like to know from your point of view as someone who has a background in medicine and you understand mental illness from a medical point of view, what do you wish people knew more about mental illness? And what do you think we need to do to destigmatize mental illness?
Okay. Yeah, firstly, mental illness is a common illness with which many people live in our society. It is just like any other medical condition. And it is important to state that it is not taboo. Hence, it affects all races, all genders, all cultures, all backgrounds, all communities, whether poor or rich. And people should understand that mental illness deserves the very same attention just like any other medical condition, since it is a silence killer. We have seen that, and like you just mentioned, that the suicide rate amongst men is alarming. And people should speak out about their frustrations, unhappiness, their concerns, their experiences, whether good or bad, any form of abuse that they come across, and even their sexuality.
Thank you so much for that. I think the most important thing about what you said is the fact that mental illness is the same as any other illness. And the reason why it's so hard for people to pick it up is because we can't physically see it. So with physical illness, you are able to see the wound. You are able to see that someone is not able to function fully as an individual, and therefore they require help, and it's easier to diagnose. Whereas with mental illness, you need to be very present and you need to be always aware. And we live in a system that is designed to keep us moving. So you wake up in the morning, you go to the gym, you do this, you do that. It's always go, go, go. There's no time to stop unless you bring yourself to stop and to slow down and relax. So being constantly aware of your body, the signs that it gives you, is the first step to being aware of the signs of mental illness. And also just educating yourself, reading a lot more about the signs and how you should take care of yourself, taking care of the people around you, but also just speaking up, using platforms like these, like the spaces, and also just finding people who are kind of going through the same thing if maybe therapy is not accessible to you. But there's also free resources out there that a lot of people can use. And this brings me to, you know, my next question about why we glamorize struggle so much, especially in African households. Because our parents were parented a certain way, they start parenting that very same way, even though they are aware of how painful it was for them growing up to have glamorized struggle. And we think just because something is hard for you to get, or you're going through struggle, you're going through dark times, that at the end of the tunnel, there will be a light. But sometimes there's no light. The only thing you've been exposed to is that trauma, and you spend so much time unlearning that trauma. So how can we, as, you know, people who are going to have children, better take care of our children? How can we raise children in healthier households? And how can we remove that need to glamorize struggle in African households?
Black families, especially Black men, were raised to believe that men do not cry, and they should die inside, and they should hold the bull by the horn. And my point of departure would be that needs to stop. Because men should cry when they are overburdened, when they are overwhelmed, when they are stressed. It is a form of like reaching out and seeking for attention when mentally unstable. So we need to introduce a platform and to also be receptive in terms of accommodating such people who come to us, you know, in tears, you know, weak as they are, to share their problems with us instead of dismissing them, and instead of, you know, joking about them, their situations, mm-hmm. and naming them and shaming them or lambasting them. Mm-hmm. I think that that should be our point of departure. And secondly, I think kids should be allowed to voice out their concerns at a very tender age, and they should also voice out their opinions about certain aspects that they feel uncomfortable, you know, in an attempt to seek, you know, amicable solutions, which are both beneficial for both parents, you know, and them. So, mm-hmm. and parents ought to listen and encourage their children to speak out about everything at a very tender age. You know, when kids start asking questions like, "Mommy, how a baby is born," we should not tell them lies that you came via an aeroplane or whatnot. You need to be factual and realistic. Let's mm-hmm. tell them, because these kids are smart. They're smart. There's social media, there's internet, there's TV, there's radio. They listen, and they do listen to other people talking. So if we do not engage them and make them part and parcel of these daily conversations, then we are bound to fail them. Mm-hmm. And they should also form part of our discussions that involves their mental wellness. I think that's very crucial. We cannot just decide in the bedroom as parents to say, yeah, this kid needs counseling because he or she has been bullied at school. Let us make them part of the discussion to say, listen, we are aware of what you're going through, and this is how we want to help you, so that it becomes a norm, you know, in them, that they should voice out everything, as petty as it might seem, as little as it might seem, as insignificant as it might seem, but it needs to be highlighted and addressed.
Yeah, that's very important. And every time I'm on TikTok or on Instagram, I see these videos of kids who are so well-spoken. They understand their surroundings, their emotions. And kids are very intelligent. And we need to start treating them like people who are able to comprehend what it is that we tell them. And the more open we are, the more open they are to us. So if I create a safe space for my siblings, they will be able to come to me and tell me anything that is frustrating them. How often have we seen kids lying about the most insignificant thing, and it stems from them being scared to open up to their parents or people around them because they think you're going to beat them up or you're going to shout? So if we cultivate a healthier space and we allow kids to make mistakes and to learn from the mistakes, then we create a healthier space for the kids to grow. And in them growing up in healthier environments, they also breed healthier environments wherever that they plant themselves. So it's a cycle that we need to start at a really, really young age. Even with like siblings, you don't have to have children for you to practice this. You can practice it with like children outside of your home, when you are at the mall, or when you are like using public transport and you bump into a kid. It's always nice to just greet them back when they greet you as well, and they ask you questions. And also, kids asking questions from a young age is a sign of them being a genius. So you need to nurture that genius in them and allow them to be very curious, and don't tell them that like curiosity kills a cat. Sometimes it really saves it. So I think it's important to nurture children from a very young age. And so with that being said, now when kids grow up, they have the agency to form their own relationships, and they decide who they want to end up with. And this is more specifically in a romantic setting. So I want to know, how can we prevent unhealthy relationships through, you know, like either communication or through setting intentions, boundaries, anything like that? What do you think is the most imperative thing that young men need to be doing or aware of when they are forming romantic relationships with other people?
Okay. I think firstly, young men should make their expectations known to the other parties or to their counterparts. And that should be vice versa as well, because going into a relationship, you have more expectation than the other. And when your expectations are not met, then that creates disappointment. Mm-hmm. All right. Number two, I think men should set clear and solid boundaries as to how they want their relationship to be, how they want to progress in their relationship, and their ambitions and, you know, future plans and whatnot. I think that needs to be stipulated and made aware to the counterparts, to their counterparts. And another thing, I think it's important that they instill and promote transparency. You know, no matter how bitter things can get, you know, where there's no transparency, there is no true relationship. And that will also affect how you perceive or how you love the next person. And most importantly, there should be mutual respect. Mm-hmm. You know, respect is reciprocal. You give and you get. You cannot expect to earn respect while you haven't given it. So it's reciprocal. You give and you get. All right. And I think another most important thing is to develop a good conflict management skill, and with only one goal. That goal is to reaching an amicable solution without any disgruntlement or grudges or hatred or sadness. You know, sometimes we tend to differ in our arguments or in our opinions and whatnot. But at times, you know, without settling for less or without even compromising your integrity, sometimes we need to put ourselves at that person's space and understand where they come from. And I think if we continue to exercise that, then that can actually make things far much better for everyone. You understand? And another thing is that we need to understand that relationships are two-sided. Okay, so never ever go into a relationship that is one-sided. You know, one part is always benefiting and the other is not. And that will actually, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for hatred. And you will end up perceiving people as being cruel instead of loving. And, you know, you'll end up blaming the universe and questioning God's ways and doings and questioning your ability to love as a man, questioning, you know, your moves and asking yourself 10,000 questions of how and where you went wrong. Whereas the problem is not actually you per se, but it's the next person. So once you have outlined those things, I think getting into a relationship with those issues being addressed, then I think that can yield into a fruitful relationship. And another thing that I must say is that we need to encourage a closed loop and healthy communication between us, you know, between, you know, in our relationships, whether parental, you know, romantic or friendships. There should be a closed loop communication. Communication fall through cracks and then things get said and then things get perceived the other way around. And that creates dilemma in the near future.
I would just also like to add on to that from my own personal experiences. I think it's very important to know what you want, both in life and in the relationship, because we go blindly into these things thinking the next person is going to have all the answers. But if you are able to know what you want and the direction you want to take, it's easy to filter out the people who don't align with what you want. And then you end up with the people that are good for you and are able to take you where you need to go, and also sticking by what you want. We tend to make our boundaries very flexible and we say, at least this person is doing ABC and not that thing. But does it make you happy? Are you okay with them overstepping your boundary just a little bit? Because at the end of the day, it's going to be little by little by little until they've overstepped completely. So knowing exactly what you want before going into the relationship, defining it so that you are also able to define it to the next person and defining your expectations and understanding that you need to talk about what you want, how you feel. At every point in the relationship, there should be times where you are reevaluating if this is still what you want. I know sometimes a lot of people say, if I do that, then I'm going to realize that maybe this is not really what I want. But the quicker you do it, the better. And then you can move on without having collected all of that trauma that you could potentially expose yourself to. But I definitely agree with you. Mutual respect, communication, transparency, and all those good things that we need to work on before the relationship, and then go into the healthy relationship, cultivating new memories and also not using your past experiences to direct where the next relationship is going to go in a negative light. If it isn't a positive light, to say, in my previous relationship, I never used to communicate with my partner. Now I want to be more open. That's great. But things such as, I'm going to panic every single time my partner doesn't pick up their phone because I was cheated on so much, or my partner used to go MIA or whatever, that's projecting your insecurities and your fears onto your partner. And that is not healthy. But we could go on forever. So I guess my last question is, how can we essentially promote better mental health, both in men and women, but particularly in Black men, Black young men? How can we encourage men to go forward and ask for help? What are the resources that are available to men? And how can we create safer spaces for men to speak about their issues, their problems, and what exactly has worked for you in your own personal capacity when you were facing any difficulty in, at any point in your life, either growing up or as a grown up? What can you advise for my listeners to do in order to promote better mental well-being?
Okay, yeah, thank you for that question. First of all, I would say communication is crucial. People should not sit and die inside with their problems in hope of them disappearing into thin air. It doesn't work like that. The more you talk about issues, the more you see, or the more you hear other people's input and advices. And I think it's very imperative that people should talk about their issues. It might not be with people who are used to. You can just go for counseling. You can just go, you know, speak to a stranger in the park or in the mall or wherever. And you'd be surprised the amount of advice that you would get, because you might be talking to somebody who is more experienced in that field and who would be able to give you clear guidance and clear and sound guidance regarding your problems at that time. And I think that communication as well, it should be an ongoing process, and it should be improved, you know, regularly, because we tend to believe that, you know, my problems are mine and I'm fine by them. So that will also actually kill a man inside to such a point that they will eventually explode and become disastrous to themselves, becoming a danger to themselves and a danger to others. So, you know, in an attempt to avoid that from happening, just open up about issues. The more they happen, then just there and there, sort them out, try to find solutions to them. And what has worked for me is, you know, sharing is caring. I always believe that sharing is caring. And there's lots of groups that are available for people with such situations. Support groups. We have social media groups. Like, we have your podcasts, for an example. We have my own space, you know, Dear Black Men Are UK, where we listen to people who cannot cope on their own. And then we institute help for them, you know, be it professional help or be it just, you know, social help, like where we can talk and see if the matter does not need to be escalated. So that has actually worked for me. And another thing, it's that, you know what, life doesn't have a formula. And unfortunately, we have to leave it as it comes, you know. So no one will know what's going to happen tomorrow. But then, you know, having a good planning and having a clear determination of where you want to be in life and with who you want to be in life, then that will help to mold your approach towards certain things. And always remember to choose your cycles very well. What I've found to be distorting in my life is that I've chosen wrong friends, wrong girlfriends, people who never came to me for love, but people who came for financial benefit or for any other reasons. So you need to be able to differentiate between the two. And I think I've realized that at a later stage, but thank God I did. Unlike not, you know, realizing it at all, because I would still be drowning in my sorrows, you know, blaming the universe for all my mishaps in life. So know your cycle very well, you know, choose your battles and fight your battles with the relevant person, people that you want them to fight with. You know, don't just, you know, fight them with every Tom, Dick and Harry, because that will cascade into an avalanche of problems. So in an attempt to avoid that, you know, have your confidante. I have my sisters as confidantes, and I have my friend as confidante. So whenever I disclose my information to them, I do not have that mentality that they will be laughing at me or whatnot. If they do, so it's their own problem. But at least I managed to relieve that pressure within myself. And so I think Black men should be encouraged to talk, should be encouraged to seek for help. You know, going for counseling, it's not a sign of weakness. No, it is not. It is a sign of strength. It is actually you saying, I'm overwhelmed and I need help. And it's actually the best move one can ever make. And another thing that I would also encourage all couples to do is that, you know, before they could go to, before they could engage in any romantic relationships, I think counseling for both parties, it's very vital and crucial. Because what I've found is that most people come into relationship with their parents. And then now they want to make those parents part of my parents. And
yes.
So for me to avoid that, it's better you clean out your closet, you take out your skeletons from the closet. I also do the same, and then we start on a clean slate. I think that can contribute towards a healthy relationship.
That's so profound, because I've spoken about this before, and we've just been trying to find a way on the platform to encourage a lot more people to seek for help. And sometimes you just also don't know if you require the help until you are faced with a relationship that shows you all your cracks. And by the time you see all the cracks, it's a little bit too late, because you're adding on to all the cracks that you already have. So it's so important also to continuously speak. And there's something that I learned recently, well, not necessarily learned, but it was reinforced recently, and it's the idea of giving yourself free therapy. So sitting with yourself, journaling, speaking, and actively speaking to yourself about the things that you're going through and trying to find solutions. So not doing it when you are distracted, like making your cereal and then you just start speaking to yourself. Making a time, like 30 minutes even, to sit down on a mat and sit down with your tea and then speak to yourself like you are your own psychologist. And I've been trying to do that a lot. And one thing it does, it slows you down and it allows you to confront a lot of the fears that you have, because for those 30 minutes, you know, you can't go anywhere. You need to be able to complete the task. And so I think I would recommend for a lot more people to introspect, know exactly what it is that you need to work on, what you need to heal. And sometimes you're not going to know everything, because there are things you will only ever know through interacting with other people. So go out there, interact with people, talk to people, meet new people, network with people. Even if you don't have the intention of being in the relationship with the person, just going on a date with someone, not drowning in your own sorrows. And when you do choose the people that you want to spend the rest of your life with, or the people that you choose to invite into your own life, then you're cognizant of what exactly drew you to them and the traits that you like about the person. So I guess in summary for this episode, if you take nothing, this is what I would like for you to take, and that is to talk. Talk to someone, talk to yourself, talk to the people around you. Be very open and transparent to the right people. Be very selective about who you vent to, who you trust, and also just also read the room. Like if you are talking to someone and they give you responses that are not calming or don't feel safe to you, then trust your intuition. Your intuition will never lie to you. And I just want to explain something quickly before I close off. We have a gut-brain axis in our system, right? And so whatever it is that you're feeling in your gut is a sign from your brain. There's always cues that are being sent from your brain to your gut, and this is for your own protection. So there is a scientific background as to why you would feel the goosebumps, the butterflies. I mean, we name them like butterflies because we don't actually know what's happening inside our bodies outside of a medical perspective. So when you are feeling that rush and you're feeling the adrenaline and you're sweating, you're shivering, there is a gut-brain communication that's going on, and you need to take that very seriously. So be very aware, be grounded, and be centered so that you are able to discern between all the cues that you're getting from the environment. But I guess that's where I'm going to end the conversation for today. Dr. Mtembu, thank you so much for joining me. Can you please leave my listeners with a word or two, a word of encouragement, or anything that you'd like to say, really?
Let us all remember that we are who we are and what we want to be in this life. So if you want to be better creatures, then we need to make to put effort towards that. And nobody said life was going to be easy, but if we take it one step at a time, if we acknowledge our flaws, if we identify our shortcomings, if we are willing to reach out for help and receive help, I think that's a way to start the journey of life. If we do not undermine the seriousness of mental illness, especially amongst Black people, because it's taboo, they will say, I remember growing up, I used to think that counseling was only for white people, you know, for softies. Let them name you, let them shame you, but at the end of the day, you are the one who's going to benefit. So it's not a crime to go for counseling or to go to look for mental help. So let us make it a habit. Let us make it part and parcel of our lives, so that we can be a better generation. And remember, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, and good things, they do always pay out. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for that. I'd just also like to add that counseling is something that you don't only go to when you are struggling with anything. I know there are a lot of people who also go to counseling when everything is going right, because you still need someone to listen to you, someone who, even in times when you are happy, you can share with them without them making you feel as if you are just blowing your own horn, or you are just oversharing, or you are showing off. So you can seek for counseling at any point in your life. And there are different disciplines within therapy where you can seek for different types of therapy. You can seek for behavioral therapy. You can seek for exposure therapy, group therapy, and the like. So be very familiar with the type of therapy that you need at every phase of your life and seek for that therapy. But once again, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for making it this far. If you did, please leave me a 5-star rating and a review. I really would like to hear what you guys think. And also, if you do have a question, please do send me a message on my Instagram or my Twitter, and I'll get back to it as soon as I can. But thank you once again for the support, for the love, for the warmth, everything. I love you guys so much. Thank you. Till next time. Goodbye.